everyone. My name is Jillian, and you are listening to episode 9 of the Court Junkie podcast. Before we get started with today's episode, I just want to thank you, as always, for being such amazing listeners. Those of you who subscribe, share, review, donate, I appreciate each and every one of you. If you're listening to this and you have a Facebook account, I would love it if you would join our Facebook discussion group. We have a lot of great conversations on there, not only about these very episodes, but about other true crime topics as well, including one right now about the Todd Kohlhepp case. Just search for Court Junkie Discussion Group on Facebook. I made it a closed group so you can have freedom of expression, meaning your friends don't have to see what your comments on these cases are. Because if they're anything like mine, they may wonder why you comment on so many true crime cases, so they don't need to know. Just request to be added, and I will accept it ASAP. Unless, of course, you're a serial killer who escaped from prison, and in that case, I may not add you. Now on to the episode. In October of 2012, 21-year-old Shayna Hubers and 29-year-old Ryan Poston looked like they were the picture-perfect couple, on the surface anyway. Shayna was an honors student who was going for her master's at Eastern Kentucky University, and Ryan was an attorney who had just launched his own practice earlier that year, focusing on personal injury cases. Both were extremely smart, good-looking, and popular. But as we all know, looks can be deceiving. Shayna and Ryan had been dating on and off for about a year, but in October 2012, their relationship was on the rocks, to say the least. Ryan had grown distant and was even planning on going on a date with somebody else, while Shayna didn't seem quite ready to let go. And then one night, on October 12th, 2012, something terrible happened, and one of them called 911 around 9 o'clock that night.
Kimball County 911.
Ma'am, I killed my boyfriend in self-defense.
Okay, where are you at?
I'm at 12 Meadow Lane, Highland Heights, Kentucky. 41076.
Okay, 12 Meadow Lane, are you in a house or an apartment there?
It's an apartment. It's apartment suite 10.
Is it Meadow, anything else, Meadow View or something?
No, 12 Meadow Lane, ma'am. I killed him in self-defense.
Okay. Tell me again what unit you're in. It's not showing in my computer.
It's 10.
Okay, you're 12 Meadow Lane, unit number 10. Okay, hold on. What did you kill him with?
A gun, a loaded gun in the house.
The caller was Shayna. She was calling from Ryan's condo in Highland Heights, Kentucky. After telling the dispatcher that she shot her boyfriend in self-defense, she said she was standing about 10 feet away from his body.
Can you tell me where the gun is right now?
The gun is in the house.
Where at, though, ma'am? Tell me where it's at.
I laid it on the bookshelf.
Where at? Laying on a shelf?
On the bookshelf. It's
where are you?
I'm standing about 10 feet from his dead body.
Okay, are you sure that he is dead? Shoot him.
I don't know, 15 minutes, not even that long. Like,
10 or 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Shayna says she shot him 10 or 15 minutes ago. She then wants to know if she's going to be arrested and reiterates that it was in self-defense.
Listen, you're going to stay on the line with me, okay? Because this is what we're going to do. The officers don't want me to stay on the line with you, so when they get there, they're going to want to know where that gun is, and we want you to get out safely too, okay?
Okay, are they going to arrest me?
Ma'am, I don't know what they'll do. We're going to send them out. I'm going to stay on the line with you, okay?
I mean, I'm not a murderer, ma'am. I just killed him.
What happened exactly? What happened?
He beat me and turned me out of the house.
Injured,
ma'am. I was thrown into the side of the couch.
Okay, and how old is he?
He's 29. He'll be 30 on he would have been 30 on December the 30th.
All right, what's his name?
Ryan Carter Poston. He's an attorney in Cincinnati.
Here she's saying that Ryan beat her and tried to carry her out of the house. And when she went back inside to get her things, he had a gun. She said she grabbed the gun out of his hand and pulled the trigger. And this is important because this is Shayna's first version of what happened.
Okay, you had a history of domestic violence with him? Yeah. Okay, and is this your gun?
No, this is his gun. He keeps loaded guns in the house.
So he slammed you into the couch, but you don't have any injuries?
I don't have any injuries. I was just very frightened. He's a lot bigger than me. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. I'm 5'8", 120. And he picked me up and was carrying me out of the house. And I said, let me get my things at least if we're going to break up. And he wouldn't let me get my things. And when I reached around to try to get my things, I can hear myself echoing in the background, ma'am.
It's just this phone system. This phone system has got a delay.
And he pushed me down from the door all the way to the couch. And when they come here, they'll see how far that is. He threw me across the room. And I was very startled. I was laying on the floor.
Okay. All right.
And I killed him.
Ma'am, this is what I want you to do. You're sure he's not? Ma'am, you're sure he's not breathing at all?
Do I have to go touch him?
No, that's okay. They actually have someone that's outside almost right now, but I'm gonna stay on line with you, okay? When they tell me to, what I'm gonna tell you to do is walk to the door with your hands up because we want you to come out safely, okay? So that's why I'm staying on the line with you. Ma'am, I'm just a dispatcher. I'm nothing but a dispatcher, so I can't tell you. My job is to keep you in line, make sure my officers get there safely and nothing happened to them, okay?
Ma'am, and then because he was twitching and I knew he was going to die anyway and he was making funny noises, I shot him a couple more times just to kill him because I knew he would have been...
I'm sorry, you said you shot him a couple more times after that?
Yeah,
How many times did you shoot him total?
I don't know.
Okay, because he was twitching and you knew he was going to die, so you shot him again?
Enough to make sure he was dead because he was twitching so bad and I didn't want to watch him lay there and twitch.
So you shot him instead of calling 911?
Yeah, I did because I knew he was going to die anyway.
Okay.
He was pretty bad. He was like, he just was twitching when he was pretty much dead and I shot him just so he stopped twitching.
When police arrived on the scene, they instructed Shayna to get on the ground. And as they entered the condo, they could see Ryan on the floor in the dining room, next to the dining room table. He was dead, having suffered multiple gunshot wounds to his upper body. Shayna was taken into custody and charged with Ryan's murder. Sometimes you have to wait until trial to know what somebody's defense is going to be. But Shayna wanted bond. And because the state decided not to try it as a capital case, by law, she was granted a bond hearing. Initially, she had been given $1 million bond, then $5 million bond, and then it had been revoked completely, which Shayna's attorneys argued was unconstitutional. Shayna testified on the stand during her hearing, and what she said would give us a glimpse into what her defense would be at trial. Just like in her 911 call, Shayna said that she shot Ryan in self-defense. Her attorney claimed she had been abused by him and that the only thing she did wrong was having bad taste in men. And that's a real quote from her attorney, by the way. In response, prosecutors said that if she really did shoot him in self-defense, she didn't have to shoot him 6 times. Detective Bill Birkenhauer told the court that Shayna's story had changed multiple times. He said she told him that Ryan had become verbally abusive during the argument and that she shot him from across the kitchen table. He said she made numerous statements about where the gun actually was when she grabbed it and shot him. She said it was in Ryan's hand in one version, in a cabinet in another, and on the kitchen table in yet another version. Birkenhauer also testified that Shayna said she shot Ryan in the head, then the face, and then 4 more times to stop the twitching. He said she also claimed that during the argument, Ryan had locked himself in the bedroom with another loaded gun, but that she used a key to open the door. And then another tidbit. Shayna had told her mom in a jailhouse phone call that she would run away if granted bond, and she even referenced the movie The Fugitive. Shayna's bond was finally set at $1.5 million. Testimony in Shayna's trial began on April 14, 2015. In their opening statements, Assistant Commonwealth's Attorney Cheryl Heater essentially called BS on Shayna's self-defense claims. She said that any perceived abuse was nowhere near justification for shooting and killing somebody and shooting them six times. Shayna's attorney, David Mejia, claimed the evidence would show that it was self-defense. He said they would be hearing testimony from Ryan's neighbors, who said they heard two shots and then four shots in rapid succession, which he said supports Shayna's story. He said that the prosecution would have you believe that she shot him from across the room in cold blood and then came around and shot him as he lay on the floor. The first thing prosecutors did after their opening statements was to play Shayna's own words for the jury. The 911 call was played, and the jury learned that Shayna had actually called her mother prior to making that call. Prosecutors also played Shayna's interview with detectives shortly after she had been taken into custody. But the fascinating thing about Shayna's so-called interview is that after police read her Miranda rights, they never once asked her a single question. She just kept talking and talking and talking for about 2 hours. In this first clip, she wonders out loud if anybody will ever want to marry her if they know that she just killed her boyfriend in self-defense.
And, you know, I wasn't doing anything that was mean. I was, like, begging him to stay in the relationship and be with me because I knew that we weren't really loving each other, you know, right? It told me that he loved me and wanted to be with me. And I guess somewhere along the way, that grew to hate. He was screaming how much he hated me. I don't know if anyone will ever want to marry me if they know that I killed a boyfriend in self-defense. Not funny, but the stuff he was saying to me was so abusive while he was throwing me around the room. I'll never forget. I think in the midst of that, my love turned to hate. I remember screaming, reaching up to grab the shirt. You, how dare you mock my family? How dare you talk about it? Please, like, my mother and my family. If I don't get any serious consequences, then I could really be happy just having a career and maybe not even ever getting married. Because this is very traumatic, you know. Very traumatic for me to live with it. I have to know that I did that for someone that I told every day, I love you.
Again, notice that the officers aren't saying a word. In this next clip, Shayna describes in detail her version of events. And towards the end, she says some pretty shocking things, especially in light of the fact that she had just shot and killed somebody she said she loved.
He had put his arm across the table, and there's a lamp, and he had put his arm across the table and had it in my face and was screaming at me at the top of his lungs after he had thrown me around the room and was saying emotionally to me, "You're a f***ing hillbilly. I f***ing hate you. I hate everything about you for what you are and my family." And he was screaming and he had it on the table and he wasn't completely standing up. He was like this. He was sitting, he was announced it when I shot him. He was sitting like this. Literally. That's when I knew he was dead, or close to it, and twitching. And I still, even though the hurt, I still, enough of me, loved him, that I couldn't stand to watch him twitch. I knew he was going to die or have a completely deformed face. He's very vain. One of our last conversations we had that was good was that he wants my best friend, who's a dentist, to do his veneers and wants to get a nose job. Just that kind of person. And I shot him right here.
I gave him his nose job. He wanted.
He was vain, and she gave him the nose job that he always wanted. And then this next clip. Shayna is left alone in the interrogation room, and what does she do? Starts singing and dancing. And if you listen closely, at the end of the clip, she says, "I did it. Yes, I did it. I can't believe I did that." Shayna had also told detectives that Ryan had broken up with her that night and that she was in the process of getting her things from the condo when the argument occurred. She said, "I don't want to go to prison. I don't think I deserve to. I didn't go over there intending to shoot Ryan. I went over there with the best of intentions. I love you. Let's work this relationship out." And he was screaming and hitting me. He resorted to violence. She said that Ryan verbally and physically attacked her. She said that he called her a hillbilly from Kentucky, and she said, "I guess the hillbilly came out in me and I took up for myself." The court then heard graphic testimony from Dr. Gregory Wanger, the medical examiner who performed the autopsy on Ryan. Dr. Wanger said that Ryan was shot 6 times, twice in the head, once in the back, once under his arm, and twice in the chest area. Wanger said that 2 of the shots caused major damage to Ryan's aorta, but he couldn't determine which of the shots were fatal, nor the sequence in which they were fired. He was able to confirm, however, that Ryan was alive at or near the time of the shooting due to bruising along the entry wounds. The next batch of testimony focused on Shayna and Ryan's tumultuous relationship through text messages and social media messages. Bill Birkenhauer, the detective who investigated the case and who is now the Highland Heights police chief, said he was able to determine that Ryan and Shayna had broken up 3 times. The first time, Ryan sent her a text that said, "You can tell everyone that you broke up with me. I won't contradict the story." There were also messages where Shayna begs Ryan not to break up with her, and Ryan tells her to stop texting him and says that he's going to have to block her number if she doesn't stop. Birkenhauer also testified that just days prior to the murder, Shayna talked about shooting Ryan in a message she sent to a friend. She wrote that she was going to the shooting range with him and that she wanted to turn around, shoot, kill him, and play like it's an accident. She also referred to Ryan as an evil person and that her love had turned to hate. Birkenhauer also testified that Ryan had received a message on social media that Shayna had been cheating on him with multiple men. But what interested police was how Shayna reacted when she found out that Ryan got that message. Birkenhauer said, "What made Shayna so angry was that Ryan's response to Shayna cheating on him was that he was very indifferent about it. He said he didn't have the energy to think about it. He didn't want to bring it up to her because she'd show up and he'd have to talk to her about it. He said that his only concern at that time was his family, his career, and his friends." Birkenhauer also said that they found no evidence to back up Shayna's claim that there had been a struggle that night or that she had ever been abused by Ryan. Shayna had claimed that Ryan had thrown her into a TV, a chair, and a bookcase, but the bookcase was found with a series of bullets standing on end, meaning that nothing had bumped into the bookcase since the bullets had been standing on edge. He said that there was also nothing disturbed at the kitchen table itself. Two other police officers testified that Shayna didn't seem upset after killing her boyfriend. Highland Heights Lieutenant David Fornash was the first officer on the scene. He said he didn't see Shayna shed any tears, but that it seemed like she was trying to cry, but then would stop. Another officer who drove Shayna to the police department said that she actually looked happy. A couple of Ryan's neighbors testified about what they heard the night Ryan was killed. One woman said she heard a female on Ryan's porch crying. She then heard that person go inside Ryan's condo, and right after that, she heard two gunshots, and a few seconds later, four more shots. She said the female had only been inside the condo for a few seconds before the shots started. A forensic pathologist testified that Ryan was sitting at a table when the first shot struck him in the head, and that the killer was advancing towards him while firing five more shots. He said that the first shot incapacitated him, and after the first three shots, Ryan fell to the floor. He said he believed that Ryan was alive for all of the gunshots. One witness was not only Ryan's step-cousin, but a friend of Shayna's too. She said she introduced Ryan to Shayna, but that Shayna was always more serious about the relationship than Ryan was. She said that Ryan tried ending the relationship many times, but was too nice about it, and that he never wanted to hurt Shayna's feelings. She said as time went on, Shayna started showing up at Ryan's condo and refusing to leave. She said that Ryan told her, "This is getting to be restraining order level crazy. I'm not kidding. You need to talk to her. She sent me 75 texts in the last hour." Some of Shayna's cellmates also testified. One of them said that Shayna laughed about Ryan's death and at first said that she was going to plead insanity. Then she said Shayna told her that she was too smart because she has an IQ of Einstein, and so she was going to plead the wife battered syndrome. The cellmate said she came forward because she felt sorry for Ryan's family. Another cellmate recounted how Shayna changed her story, first saying that she had been abused, but then saying that she had tried to provoke Ryan by throwing his things around his condo to convince neighbors that there had been a struggle. She said Shayna was enraged the night of the killing because Ryan was about to go on a date with a beauty pageant queen, Miss Ohio. And before the prosecution rested, they called Ryan's mom, dad, and stepfather to the stand. Ryan's dad, Jay Poston, testified that Ryan wanted to break up with Shayna, but that his son had a kind heart. And his stepfather, Peter Carter, told the jury that Ryan was supposed to go on a date with a Miss Ohio contestant and that Ryan talked to him about it, saying that he didn't know if he would be able to go because Shayna was always around. Ryan's mom, Lisa Carter, told a heartbreaking anecdote about how from the time Ryan was 6 years old, he wanted to be an attorney. She said he didn't like people being treated unfairly. He always defended the defenseless. She also said something that, to me, was powerful. The night prior to Ryan's murder, Shayna and Ryan had dinner with Lisa and Peter. Lisa said on the stand, very strongly and loudly, "The night before she murdered him, she came to my home and ate at my table." The defense called Sharon Hubers, Shayna's mother, to the stand to talk about Shayna's side of her relationship with Ryan. Sharon was a school teacher from Lexington, Kentucky. She said her daughter was a star student, having graduated in only 3 years from the University of Kentucky with a degree in psychology. She said Shayna was going for her master's degree in school counseling. Sharon said she feared for Shayna's safety from the moment she first met Ryan. She said she first met him in 2011 and that she was taken aback because he couldn't look me in the face. She said Ryan's condo was nasty and not what you'd expect out of a gentleman almost 30 years old. She said she was afraid for Shayna because of all the guns Ryan had in his home. In the early morning hours on the day Ryan was killed, Sharon said she got a phone call from Shayna, who was at Ryan's condo. She was sick. She was in pain. There was fear in her voice, she said. Sharon said she knew that something was wrong, and so she drove from Lexington to Highland Heights, which is about an hour and a half. She said Shayna was shaking and grabbing her left arm, but then things calmed down, and she and Shayna went shopping. Sharon then went to go visit relatives in Ohio, and Shayna went back to Highland Heights. Later that night, Sharon again received a call from Shayna, after Shayna had shot Ryan and before she called 911. Sharon said she told her daughter to call 911 and to tell them exactly what happened. The defense also called a toxicologist to the stand to testify about the medications found in Ryan's body at the time of his death, which included Xanax and Adderall. The toxicologist said that the mixture of medications could have led to violent outbursts, but the prosecution countered that they had been prescribed by a doctor and that Ryan was under a doctor's care. They also called Highland Heights Police Chief Bill Birkenhauer back to the stand and had him read some social media postings that Ryan had posted about a breakup with his law partner. One of the postings read, "Bury him neck deep at low tide. Throw darts at his head. Wait for high tide to roll in so I could stomp on his head while he's drowning." Another one read, "So now everyone wants me to settle. A few seconds later, and I want to rig explosives to everything I see." The point of that testimony was no doubt trying to show that Ryan had a tendency for violence. The defense also called Dr. George Nichols, a former forensic pathologist who testified about Ryan's injuries. He said that he believed Ryan could not have been sitting when he was shot due to the wounds in his back, but the prosecution countered that he could have fallen forward with his back then exposed. Dr. Nichols also claimed that the wounds wouldn't have necessarily prevented Ryan from moving. Remember that Shayna's claim is self-defense and that Ryan kept coming towards her. The defense also called one of Shayna's friends to the stand, the girl who had received the messages from Shayna about wanting to shoot Ryan at the shooting range. Other texts from Shayna talked about how her relationship with Ryan was unhealthy and how she was secretly dating another guy. She wrote, "It's going to be hard for me to one day choose between him and Ryan. One means a future, and one means being with somebody I love who doesn't love me as much. If he loved me half as much, I'd be forever faithful, but I know he doesn't." And as for that shooting range text, the one that said, "When I go to the shooting range with Ryan tonight, I want to turn around, shoot, and kill him and play like it's an accident," the defense tried to show that Shayna had been joking when she sent it. Only that testimony probably didn't go the way they had planned. The defense attorney asked the friend if she thought anything of Shayna's text after Shayna sent it, and the friend said no. But when the prosecutor cross-examined her, she said, 11 days later, when Shayna Hubers put 6 bullets into Ryan Poston, did you think about it then?" And her friend said, "I did." And the prosecutor asked, "Did it take on a different context then?" And the friend said, "Yes." And then, just 2 days prior to the shooting, Shayna sent her friend, who's a dentist, another text about Ryan. "Ryan's been begging me to ask you if you could do his veneers. Please F them up and make him ugly so he'll never get another girl. I hate him," she wrote. A psychologist also took the stand for the defense and said that Shayna was exhibiting symptoms of narcissism and bipolar disorder, and that she had post-traumatic stress disorder after she killed Ryan. He said he met with Shayna in jail 7 times over an 18-month period, and he said that Shayna thought highly of herself and bragged, but was also very emotional. He said you could hear those traits in her 911 call. He said Shayna was having problems sleeping because she was having nightmares. He said that in his opinion, she was also having some psychotic processes. He said she would hear sounds and imagine things being outside of her cell door. He also said that Shayna had said that there was some sexual trauma in her childhood. The defense wrapped up their case without calling Shayna herself to the stand, which is interesting, to me at least, Because in most self-defense cases that I've followed, the defendant will usually testify in order to tell their side of the story. Think Jodi Arias. The defense's closing argument centered around their self-defense claim, while the prosecution said that six shots equal murder. The defense pointed to Kentucky's Stand Your Ground law, claiming that Shayna was not required to stop shooting after that first shot as long as Ryan was still alive. Attorney Mejia said, "You may hear something in this case about Shayna Hubers firing multiple shots. If you believe that she acted in self-defense when that first shot was fired, she is not required to quit shooting. Ryan was alive for all six shots. Whether the number of minutes or seconds after that lasted greater or longer, that is not her responsibility once she acted in self-protection." The prosecution pointed to Shayna's own statements that she kept shooting Ryan because he was twitching and she wanted to put him out of his misery. The charges the jury had in front of them to consider were murder, first-degree manslaughter, second-degree manslaughter, reckless homicide, or acquittal. She was facing 20 years to life. After 2 weeks of trial, the jury of eight men and six women deliberated for 5 hours before finding Shayna guilty of murder on April 23, 2015. Their sentence recommendation was 40 years in prison. Shayna's actual sentencing hearing was held 4 months later. There is a big question of whether the judge would go with the jury's recommendation or his own, and Shayna's team was desperately fighting for a lighter sentence. Under Kentucky law, if Shayna could prove that she was the victim of domestic violence and that she and Ryan lived together, she could be eligible for parole after serving only 8 years. But one big problem. Shayna had told police that it was Ryan's condo and not hers, and she had her own apartment in Lexington. And guess who finally took the stand to try and argue all of this? Shayna. Shayna's lawyers put her on the stand, and she claimed that she and Ryan had, in fact, been living together. She read out loud text messages between her and Ryan about who would be cooking dinner on a given night. But prosecutors weren't having it. They brought up the fact that Shayna had been seeing other men and again used her own words against her. And Judge Fred Stein agreed with them.
There's just not enough there. And that's it. So I'm denying the motion to declare Ms. Hubers a member of an unmarried couple or a victim of domestic violence.
Unfortunately for Shayna, that would be a huge blow to her sentence. Shayna's attorney argued that 40 years for somebody who had been 21 at the time of the killing was too much. And Shayna herself also pleaded to the judge. She said, "It's sad when someone pushes you away and pulls you back in and pushes you away and pulls you back in. There were times when he had my head go in 10 different directions to where I didn't even know if that was my boyfriend or not, or what he was to me. I feel like I was led on. I feel like I was manipulated, used, and abused. And no, Ryan didn't beat on me every day. I'm not going to sit up here and exaggerate and lie and say that he did. But he did put his hands on me a handful of times." The prosecutor, Michelle Snodgrass, in court confronted Shayna about not having shown any remorse for murdering Ryan. And she was angry about it.
"Not at one point in time, nor at any point in time, have you ever said that you were sorry for putting six bullets in Ryan Hosen's body. In fact, what you've said is that you hope to God he's burning in hell. Didn't you say that on phone calls?"
"I probably have."
And right before the judge handed down his sentence, Shayna finally apologized. But not for killing Ryan.
"I'm sorry to my family and I'm sorry to my friends for letting them down. And I'm sorry for any hardship I've caused other people."
Shayna also told the judge that a 40-year sentence wouldn't help her or rehabilitate her in any way. The judge then gave his ruling.
"What I think happened in that apartment was little more than cold-blooded murder."
Judge Stein went further. He said that it was probably the most cold-blooded act he had ever been associated with in the criminal justice system in the 30-plus years he's been in it. He upheld the jury's recommendation and sentenced Shayna to 40 years in prison. He said he had been contemplating giving her even more time because she had never shown any remorse for what she had done. But as it stood, Shayna would be eligible for parole after serving 20 years in prison. I wish I could end the episode here and tell you that Shayna is serving her time in prison and that Ryan's family is enjoying what little peace they got from knowing that Shayna was incarcerated. But sadly, the nightmare isn't over for Ryan's family. In fact, they'll be forced to relive everything all over again later next year. In August 2016, Shayna was granted a new trial. One of the jurors was a convicted felon, which wasn't discovered until after the trial was over. The juror had pleaded guilty in 1992 to falling behind in child support payments, which is a felony in Kentucky. The juror said that he didn't remember pleading guilty and that he doesn't believe that he's a convicted felon. But Shayna's attorneys successfully argued that he was not legally qualified to serve on a jury, therefore scoring Shayna a new trial. And just this week, Shayna's trial was set for September 2017. A long way to wait for Ryan's family. Through their spokesperson, Ryan's family released a statement. It's frustrating. The families want it to be over with, but they also know that Shayna Hubers killed Ryan Poston. She is a murderer. The families will do what they need to do to see this through to the end, because they know that justice will be served. It's easy to get caught up in the salacious details of this trial and of this case. An attractive, troubled young woman murdering her boyfriend surely makes headlines, but it's important to know that by all accounts from Ryan's family and friends, he was a kind soul who is dearly missed. Ryan was from Northern Kentucky, and his parents got divorced when he was very little. His mom remarried, and she and her husband, along with Ryan's dad, all raised him together. Ryan lived with his mom and stepfather growing up and was reportedly a very protective older brother of his three younger half-sisters. Ryan's dad touched on this in his victim impact statement. He said, "The night of my son's murder, I slept, thinking all was well in my life. Since the birth of Ryan, I gauged my well-being by that of his. If he was well, so was I. And why would he not be? Ryan was a young, promising attorney educated throughout the world at schools that prepared him for any challenge, opportunity, or goal he chose to pursue in life. His law practice was thriving. Ryan enjoyed the love and pride of two good families that watched over him with every step he took as he journeyed on his life's path. He was brilliant, he was beautiful, and above all, he was kind. By all accounts, Ryan's life was truly blessed. Until that Friday night. That night, I laid down to sleep thinking all was well in my son's world, and by extension, mine. What I did not know was that all I knew and treasured in my life was forever gone." And that's all for this episode. Thanks to Deanne, one of the listeners of this show, I've started adding photos of everybody involved in these cases to my website. Just go to courtjunkie.com and click on this episode. And a special thank you to all of my subscribers. Please leave me a review if you like the show, and don't forget to join our Facebook group. To support this podcast, you can donate as little as a dollar on patreon.com/courtjunkie, or you can go to audibletrial.com/courtjunkie and sign up for a free 30-day trial. You also get a free audio download, which is awesome if you like listening to podcasts. By signing up for a free trial, which you can cancel at any time, by the way, you're helping to support this podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.